Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
All right, good morning to you once again. It's Dave Plyer on 720 WGN. So there's a brand new exhibit opening at the Museum of Broadcast Communications in Chicago on October 21st. It's called Saturday Night Live, The Experience. The 12,000-square-foot experience is designed to chronicle the history of NBC's iconic franchise while taking visitors through its notoriously hectic weekly schedule. 10 immersive galleries bring visitors into the office of executive producer Lauren Michaels, the writer's room, control room, and more, highlighted by more than 500 authentic artifacts, including iconic costumes, original sets, props, and scripts. The experience concludes with a full-scale replica recreation of SNL's longtime home in New York, Studio 8H, in Rockefeller Center. Now, John Belushi was one of the original primetime players, and his brother, Chicago's very own Jim Belushi, kicked off his career in a couple of seasons in the early 1980s as well. And joining us to talk about that journey is Jim Belushi himself. What's up, Jim?
Hey, how you doing?
I am excellent. Glad you're joining us. You know, I wanted to harken back a little bit. You know, you and your brother John, as well as sister Mary and younger brother Billy, all grew up here. You have always kept Chicago close to your heart over the years. I mean, you're back here all the time. You're here supporting your teams. I think that's fantastic.
Well, yeah, I love Chicago. I mean, I'm rooted there. People are kind and warm, and I'm treated very well there, and I treat people very well there, and I got great cigar shop, you know, an Uptown tobacco shop on Wells.
Old Town, absolutely.
Yeah, Old Town. I'm always walking the streets.
I love that.
I don't know. It just makes me feel good to be in Chicago. I don't know. I learned my craft there.
Right.
And I got everything I needed from Second City there. So I don't know. I'm just really grounded there. Kind of refreshes my spirit.
At what time did you realize, okay, I'm going to break into comedy. I want to do this.
Well, when I was 16, I went and saw John at Second City, and I'd never seen magic before. I mean, that was magic.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point, I went, I want to be here. I want to, and ever since, I've been just chasing the magic. And when I got to Second City, it was a magical experience, magical communication with the audience and the other actors. And that feeling is what makes you present. And so I've been chasing that for all these years, and I find it wherever I go now.
Such a great training ground for that, and what it lets it do, it lets you do is as a comic, as a comedian, as an actor, that stage being as simple as it is, and the set as simple as it is, it lets you really shine. It lets you really, really, you know, you're not using a million props. You're not using anything.
No, you have to fill the space.
You do,
but it's kind of odd because then when I went to television right from Second City, I had couches to walk around.
Right, exactly.
Like, okay. Can I move over here? Chairs there, couches there. I mean,
well, I said to you before we got started that, you know, there were first two memorable roles for me watching you and laughing my ass off, and one was Working Stiffs with Michael Keaton back in the late 70s. That was hysterical. That was a great show.
That was Penny Marshall directed the pilot, and it was one of the best pilots. I mean, the physical comedy, the relationship comedy, and the jokes were perfect. And we shot like
nine episodes.
13.
Yeah. I have it on VHS somewhere.
No, I do too, actually.
Do you?
But Michael Keaton was, you know, quite brilliant. Penny Marshall directed it. It was at Paramount. It was at the heyday of their sitcom world, and I was very grateful to be part of that. Yeah.
Wasn't Paul Rubens in that, too?
Yeah, Paul was in it.
Yeah,
Paul was in it. He was the delivery boy.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Yeah. He was from Groundlings at the time. That was the improv company out in Los Angeles.
Sure. and about last night, which was filmed so much in Chicago, and that's what connected me to you so much, is I knew you were a Chicago guy. It was filmed in Chicago, and I still can't tell you to this day how many of my buddies and I will say, yeah, pull this leg, and it plays Jingle Bells.
Right. That was a Tim Kazurinsky joke.
Was that right?
Yeah, Tim Kazurinsky wrote that joke. Yeah, because I did the play at the Apollo Theater.
Right.
And then Don Simpson came out to see it because he wanted me to do, well, it was Working Stiffs.
Yeah.
And he said, boy, you should make that into a screenplay. And I said that to the producers, Jason Brett, Stuart Oaken, and they got Denise Duclos and Tim Kazurinsky to write it. And they gave it to Simpson, and he loved it. And then he offered it to my brother John.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
And John called me. He said, they just offered me Sexual Perversity in Chicago, the movie. I said, well, don't do it.
Right.
And he goes, what are you talking about, don't do it? I said, don't do it. I said, you can't. And listen, I can't lift a cheeseburger. I can't lift a sword. I can't do, you know, Kissinger. I can't do anybody. You've eaten up everything. I said, this role is mine. I did it on stage. My role. Leave it alone. And he said, well, you don't understand Hollywood, Jimmy. You know, they're heat-seeking missiles, and Danny and I are hot, and they're offering it to me and Danny. I said, I don't care. Pass. He goes, well, if I don't do it, then they're going to give it to Billy Murray. Wouldn't you rather have somebody in your family do it? You jerk.
Exactly.
No, don't do it.
Yeah.
And he got mad at me and hung up.
Yeah.
And then he passed.
Yeah.
And then Bill Murray passed. I think John said something to Billy. And then it went in a turnaround for 6 years, and then TriStar picked it up, and that movie changed my career.
Is that how long that sat on the shelf? Was 6 years before
they
it got
put in a turnaround once they couldn't attach a big star to it. And then Rob Lowe got hot with St. Elmo's Fire,
mm-hmm.
and he was hot enough for TriStar to say it's a go picture if he says yes, and he said yes. And then Ed Zwick, you know, Chicago, and directed it.
That role was made for you.
No, yeah, it was a great role. It was really, really, it made me a very happy man.
Yeah, I bet. I bet it did. And it's great to see all the Chicago landmarks around there, too. You did Saturday Night Live very early on in your career, too. Another legendary cast, Eddie Murphy, Joe Piscopo, Julie Louis-Dreyfus, Tim Kazurinsky, your buddy as well. You began on the show, you know, 4 years after your brother John left the show, 1 year before he left us. Did you ever feel, gosh, I got a lot to live up to, or I'm my own guy and I'm going to make my own mark?
Well, I mean, listen, I was a fan of my brother. You know, I mean, he was my brother, but I was a fan just like everybody else was a fan.
Sure,
you know?
Sure.
And Saturday Night Live was the hottest show on TV. And everybody that, I mean, most of the people on that show were from Second City. So the natural extension for a Second City actor was Saturday Night Live. So anybody would want to do it. And, of course, when they offered it to me, I was like, of course I'll do it.
Of course.
And everyone was telling me not to do it. And I was going, hey, you're out of your mind. I'm an actor. I'm a comic actor. This is a great opportunity. I'm doing it. Well, your brother, yeah, my brother. But I'm still doing it.
Yeah,
well,
sure.
You're going to get a lot of flack. Yeah, I'll deal with it. I never got any flack. People were very warm and nice to me. Now, I wasn't terrific on that show. I was only there for 2 years, and I felt like I was, my second semester sophomore year, I was finally got the show. It's a hard show to understand.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I wish I was there for another 2 years, and I would have really come around.
But you made characters your own. I mean, you made it yourself. I mean, that whole cast created a whole new Saturday Night Live. It did.
Well, yeah, and, you know, ironically, I had dinner last night with Dick Ebersol, who's the one who hired me and fired me.
Yeah.
And rehired me.
Right.
He fired me.
I love the way that works. Yeah.
I was such a jerk, man. He fired me. He put me in my place like I've never been put in my place. And I am grateful.
I was going to say, you need those guys in your life. You know, you need those guys.
I am grateful to this day that that guy kicked my ass.
Yeah. Right.
Because I came back in that second semester, sophomore year, at Saturday Night Live was my best work because he did that. But it was a good year that year because then we had Billy Crystal and Christopher Guest and Marty Short came. Harry Shearer came. We had new writers. It was a very good year that year. But anyway, it was a great experience, and the John thing was I don't know. It's I've always had it all my life, so I don't have a problem with it. I don't know.
Yeah, you've made every
role. He was a special creature. You know, I mean, he's like, you know, when you see a shooting star, you know, you're looking up in the sky, and all of a sudden, oh my God, look at that! And it's gone.
Yeah.
That was John.
Yeah.
And I'm kind of like, is there a star up there that kind of glows and goes down, glows, comes down? You know, I'm nowhere as funny or as talented as my brother John, but it doesn't mean there isn't room in this industry for me.
I got to tell you, I wouldn't say that. I always enjoy your work. I think you're right.
No, I'm enjoyable. I do a great job. I work really hard. Yeah, I love what I do.
I know you do.
I'm very well trained.
Yeah.
And I do a good job. I really do. I'm really good. But, you know, just a few times in a lifetime, people like John come through, you know.
Well, fast forward a little bit to 2001. You played the character of Jim, a Cubs and Bears and Bulls and Blackhawks fan. loved blues music, lives in Chicago. This was you. To me, this was you if you didn't make it into show business. This was you. For eight years,
yeah,
according to Jim.
That was a fun show. I brought all that Chicago stuff into it.
It was a blast. I mean, it was a blast watching you every week because I felt like I was seeing you, you know? I mean, you were acting, of course.
It is me, but heightened.
Yeah.
And also a younger, the arguments I used to get with the writers was, no, he wouldn't say this. And I went, Jim, you wouldn't say this. You're an evolved man at this point. We were catching you when you were younger. You are not aware of this. I said, okay, I get it.
But that was cool.
So I had to start the evolution of the character as a younger Jim mentally. You know, so I was acting a role and made it bigger than myself.
It was always fun to watch. I mean, I got to tell you, and because I know, you know, again, knowing you're from Chicago and knowing who you are as a person, it was just an entertaining show. And to do it for 8 years, I mean, not a lot of people get that opportunity to have a sitcom on the air that long, especially these days. I mean, and you know this too, that how much it's changed even since According to Jim started, is that they don't, you know, some of these things, they don't give the shows a chance to even breathe.
Well, you know? I got to say, I've been very, very lucky timing-wise. I mean, when I did Working Stiffs, they didn't give shows a chance at all.
No.
At all.
No, you were hit or you were done. Yeah.
Yeah. And nowadays, you know, it's hard. The sitcom thing is difficult to be successful at. It's very hard. But it was a good show, man. It was fun. I loved doing it. And what we did is I got two beautiful girls, Kimberly Williams and Courtney Thorne-Smith.
Right.
They are so funny and beautiful. And then Larry Joe Campbell, who's out of Detroit, Second City.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a star. I mean, he to me, it was the star of According to Jim. He was so damn funny, man.
I had him on my show last year, and I laughed my ass off. He's a funny guy.
Well, I do this improvisation show with him, you know.
Yeah.
Jim Belushi and the Board of Comedy. You know, we do, like, casinos and performing arts centers, and we do corporate shows. And he still slays me on stage. Slays me.
That's awesome.
One time, before I went on stage, you know, early on in the group, I got the group together and I go, listen, nobody breaks character. Nobody breaks character. Nobody breaks character. If you feel like you're going to laugh, you know, barrel down into this character and into the relationship and stay focused, stay in the scene. Don't break characters. It's not the Carol Burnett show.
And
we go out there.
That's a good point.
The first scene I'm in with him and Josh, they rip me to ribbons. I am like crying on stage, laughing. I've got a little pee stain on my pants. Okay? This is how brutal these guys are.
Yeah, yeah.
At the intermission, they come up and pat me on the shoulder and go, hey, man, thanks for that. That really helped. Hey, thanks, Coach. That was really good. Stay in character. Stay in character.
That's awesome.
Oh, they just shamed me.
That's awesome.
My ass.
Well, what do you like more? Do you like just acting and scripted work?
I love it all, man.
Yeah, you do. Yeah,
I just love it all. That's cool. A performance is is very immediate, you know, because it's about the relationship with the audience. And that's what Second City, that was theater before that, mm-hmm. but Second City. And, of course, Saturday Night Live and my band and the Blues Brothers with Danny. It's all about the relationship with the audience. And film, you know, sets quiet. It's just a different skill set, that's all. But I love doing that, too.
Well, as I say, tell us about the music in your life. You got the blues in your soul. I mean, you can see it when you perform. I mean, that it is really part. I mean, you see some guys do it, and they're kind of walking through it. You can tell it's deep into your soul. And
oh, no, I love it. I always say that you pay me to travel, the gig is for free.
That's cool.
I mean, yeah. I am 100% present in every one of those Blues Brothers and Sacred Heart shows. I mean, Danny always says, let's strap on our F-16 engines and go. And he means the band. I mean, we fly. I mean, it is so satisfying and so loving and so fun. The guys in my band have played with everybody. They're Grammy Award winners. And the keyboard player came up to me and goes, you know, Jim, watching you, you make me feel like the way I felt when I started in this business.
That's cool.
Because I'm not doing a gig.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm just having a ball.
Having a good time. I when I saw you at the Super Bowl with Danny and John Goodman, I thought, holy cow. First of all, ridiculously entertaining. And I thought, man, you can't get better than that, being on stage in front of all those people, millions upon millions of people, and entertaining in the way you did.
Oh, wow. That was a different experience, because that was actually... We lip-sunk that, and also I got to dance with James Brown, Mr. Brown himself.
That's right, that's right.
And ZZ Top and Goodman, was terrific. It was an out-of-body experience.
I bet.
That was an out-of-body experience, and playing for Clinton one time when he was on stage was an out-of-body experience.
I bet.
I was like, I wasn't quite connected.
I bet. Well, very cool. Jim, what a thrill to talk to you.
Oh, what a joy, man. Thank you. I mean, you've been delightful, and you've given me a little piece of Chicago right now, and I feel really good.
Awesome, awesome. Well, I'll tell you what. Next time you're in town, come down to the studio, and we'll hang out.
I'd love that.
All right. Thanks, Jim. Appreciate it.
All right. Go Blackhawks. Go Cubs.
All right. Sounds good, buddy. Much more ahead on 720 WGN.